I want to just read to you the scripture that Nod was talking about earlier about Mahanaim. It's, if those of you who have a device which will give you different versions of the Bible, go to the Amplified and go to the Song of Songs. I know some of you can do that. See you. Song of Songs chapter 6 verse 11 in the Amplified says, "The Shulamite replied," well, actually we'll go back to verse 10. "The ladies asked, 'Who is this who looks forth as the dawn, fair as the moon, clear and pure as the sun, and terrible as a bannered host?' The answer is, it's the bride of Christ. And here she comes. The Shulamite replied, 'I went down to the nut orchard one day to look at the green plants of the valley to see whether the grapevines had budded and the pomegranates were in bloom, flower. Before I was aware of what was happening, my desire to roam about had brought me into the area of the princes of my people, the king's retinue. I began to flee, but they called to me, 'Return, return, O Shunammite, return, return, that we may look upon you.' I replied, 'Well, what is there for you to see in this poor little Shunammite?' And they answered, 'As upon a dance of Mahanaim, dance before two armies.' You may consider yourself today to be a poor little Shunammite maid with not much to recommend you, but the heavenly host are leaning in. And they say, 'Don't run away. Come and dance with us.'" That's the invitation here today for this conference, for the whole of it. It's come and dance with the Lord. And the Lord has several times shown me the wedding dance. It's beautiful. The bride is so enraptured with her bridegroom. She can't take her eyes off him. And on one occasion, I was watching it in the meeting. I just saw this bride and groom dancing, and they were dancing around a big hall, and as they danced around, all the exit signs went off. And I said, "Well, what's that about that, Lord?" And he said, "There's never going to be a way out of this dance of love, and you won't look for one. You won't go round the walls and saying, 'I think I need to get out.' You can always want to be with him." I'd like you to turn to Esther, please. Goes Esther, Job, Psalms. So if you're anywhere near Psalms, you're close, go back. This is what happened, I'm reading the NIV, during the time of Xerxes. I have no idea how you say that, but that's how I'm going to say it. The Xerxes who ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. That is a long way. It's big, big territory. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. And in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials, the military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes, and the nobles of the provinces were present. For a full 180 days, that is 6 months, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Esther 1. So sorry. Lynn Marie and anybody else who's saying, "Where is he?" This is where I am. Esther 1. And now I'm in verse 4. For a full 180 days, that's 6 months, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. I believe that's what's going to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to display the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. Now, I didn't know that I was going to read that scripture when she chose the song Majesty. This is what he's going to do. Over a vast area, not over a small area, over a huge area, God is going to be put upon display. I believe that. Verse 5. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet. A banquet. Lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, which is a sparkly stone. I looked it up. It's a stone that has other minerals in it and it sparkles. So it's a porphyry pavement, a sparkly pavement. Reminds you of heaven, doesn't it? Marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. I would love to have just seen that pavement. Wouldn't that have been fab? Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other. And the royal wine was abundant, in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink in his own way, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. In accordance with the king's liberality, the wine was served. Now, I want to tell you, when you are mean, when you refuse to be generous when God is prompting you, when you hold it to yourself in case you might not have enough for you, you don't display God. God is a cheerful giver, hilarious giver. And he calls you to be the same. The king has huge liberality. He actually says to the servants, they can have as much as they like. As much as they want. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other. Could we have a look at some goblets of gold, please? See if this works. And the next one? How are we doing? Notice how different they all are as we go through. And the next one? And the next. And the next. Ooh. And the next. 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 Oh, can't quite see that one, it's quite plain. And the next. And the next. And the next. And the next. And this last one I put in for all you English folk out there. And the next. Golden drinking vessels, everyone different. Now, as you went through that, some of those you said, oh, I would love to have owned that. Some of you would say, oh, I can't, look at the state of that. Who'd want that? But you're all different. Every single drinking vessel is different, and they're all gold. And If you are wealthy, which some are and some aren't, you choose to have gold cutlery and gold drinking vessels because gold does not give a flavour, a different flavour to things. So if you have stainless steel cutlery and you have gold cutlery, you would choose gold every time because the food tastes better, the drink tastes better in a goblet of gold. And every single one of you is a goblet of gold. And you are designed to be all different and to contain the wine, the new wine of the kingdom, according to the king's liberality. I love it. I just love it. And he says to the wine stewards, "We just let them have as much as they want." Now, I think you're fairly hungry people, myself. You know, the Shunammite maid said, "My desire to roam about led me in amongst the king's retinue." And I would say that in my life, my spiritual life, I've had a very strong desire to roam about. I don't like settling down and staying in one place. There's this thing inside that says, you know, there's more, like Nod said. Story of my life. There's more, there is more. I know there's more. Can we press in for more? Don't let's settle here. Whatever here is, however wonderful here is, there's more, there's more, there's more. And you guys are like that. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. You want more. Though you might say about the golden cups, they're not big enough, are they? Come on. You've got a bigger one. This is some more. My cup's full and running over. Generosity, you see again. Liberality of the king. In Joseph's story, it was the butler, the one who served the wine, who got restored to Pharaoh. And in Nehemiah, it's Nehemiah who serves the king with his golden cup, of course, the wine, who is the one who brings restoration to his people. There's something about this being a container for this wine, you know, guys. And that's what this conference is about. It is about more. It is about coming into what God has got for us in these days. And it's not the same as it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago when I began. It's not. It is not the same. It isn't. Okay. So, verse 9. Queen Vashti, who was the king's wife, also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the eunuchs, we won't go through their name, to bring before him Queen Vashti, verse 11, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. And then the king became angry and burned with anger. She refused to come because she was doing her thing. And her thing was having a banquet of her own. And she didn't want to go to his. And I want to say to you, it just so reminded me of the two parables that Jesus told about a banquet. And I looked at those two parables and I thought, oh, I think they're the same. But when I read them, they absolutely are not. And they do have certain similarities. Maybe another time, look at those two parables. They're in Matthew 22 and in Luke 14. The first one, Jesus tells us, is a wedding banquet. It's a king who is doing a banquet for his son. Remind us of anybody? Many servants are sent out and the people refuse to come. They seized the servants, they mistreated them and killed them, and there was a judgment that came on that. In the second of the parables, which is in Luke 14, let's have a look at that. Just quickly run through this. There are moments in the scripture when people try to impress Jesus with, you know, saying the right thing or saying something really spiritual. And this is one of those moments, I think. Verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus said, "A certain man, not a king, was preparing a great banquet, not a wedding feast, and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I've just bought a field, possessions, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another one said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, work, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.'" I love that. It's just sort of like, well, that's obvious, isn't it? I got married, that's it. I can't come. "So the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.'" This is Jesus' ministry. This is what he does. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to do this. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in." I love it. In the old David, it says, "Compel them to come in." There's no coercion, of course, in the kingdom. "So that my house may be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." They wouldn't come because they had an excuse. They had something better to do. Bastion said, "No, I'm not. I can't be bothered. I'm not bothered. Am I bothered? No, I'm not bothered. I'm not going." But she was beautiful. And what does it say in Isaiah 62? "You will be a crown of splendor, a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord, if you go to the banquet. If you lay aside everything, every excuse." Jesus goes on in the next verse and says this: "Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and said, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.'" He said, the bar so high, doesn't he? And there are so many people who say, "Oh, God wouldn't ask that of me. God's not unreasonable. God would be nice to me. God would be kind to me." I was lying on the floor the other Sunday evening, like you do, and the Lord was just... Well, you do if you come here on a Sunday evening, I can tell you that. And the Lord was just showing me the martyrs and the missionaries who gave up everything they had to preach the gospel, to give themselves to God really fully. Yes. Not in a half-hearted, well, if I haven't got anything better to do, it's what our old pastor's wife used to call a better offer. You know, if she'd made organized something with you, and then you said, "I can't come because..." She said, "Oh, you get a better offer." But how can there be a better offer than the kingdom? How can there be a better offer than saying, "Come to the banquet. Come to the banquet. Come to the banquet. You're busy with something else?" "You can come again." But, you know, Queen Vashti, it was a one-off event. And you say, "Oh, if the Queen invited me to the garden party, I definitely would go. I'd bear a new hat and I'd go." And my dad went to the Queen's garden party on a couple of occasions. But it's not a one-off event. It's every minute of your life. It's every day as the Lord calls to you. He calls to you. He says, lay that aside, come be with me. Oh, don't read that. Don't read that. Read my word. Oh. Come and be with me. So if you go back to Esther, I can find it. Here we are. Look at that. Where are they going to have this time of incredible feasting and banqueting? It is in the king's enclosed garden. It is intimacy, guys. Now, when I was a young Christian, God spoke to me and he said, I want to reveal intimacy to you. And he did that through a prophetic word that someone gave at a conference, which said, I want you to come in. I want to look at you face to face, eye to eye, mouth to mouth, heart to heart. Come in. And I was stunned. Now, I've done this demonstration before in church, so you have to excuse me, those of you who have seen it before. Keith, would you like to come? I know I haven't warned you. This is my husband. And when he talks about Moses being up on the mountain, it says God spoke to him as a man speaks to a friend, face to face. But what it actually means in the Hebrew is with an exchange of breath. So, if I'm not going to touch, but we're just going to breathe. Done that with somebody else's husband, you'd all say, bit intimate, isn't it? What is she doing exactly with that man? She's breathing in his breath. But that's what Jesus is looking for. He wants you to come into his enclosed garden, you servants of the Lord, and exchange breath with him. Be as intimate as that. Have an exchange of breath. Because he loves you. He absolutely adores you. And he wants to be up close and personal. English people have big spaces around them. Those who come from other countries find it strange. But we had a lady come into the church, and she didn't have this. She's English, but she did not have this. And so you felt as if she was going to sit on your lap. You were like edging away on a seat, and she would lean in. At the same time, you think, could we just have a bit more space here? But you can't have space with God. You are one with him. Yeah. It's closer even than Moses had it, because he's within. But he's calling you at this conference into his enclosed garden to be intimate with him. Because we have this treasure, this incredible treasure, in a jar of clay. But inside there's a golden vessel. Your spirit is this incredible, pure gold vessel that takes the power and wonder of the wine of God. And I'd love to go with you through the Song of Songs and see this amazing wine that flows out of God. That is your golden vessel on the inside. That's who you really are. But if you're deeply engaged with the fact that you're a vessel of clay, actually he says, let's look at it. I know what Richard said, but never mind. Moving on. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. Really? My goodness.
Amen. See?
verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. You're welcome. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but my mind won't really hold that properly. It goes blah. But this is what it says. I see the light of the good news, right? Of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, lots and lots and lots of songs are based around Moses and "Show Me Your Glory, Lord." And they sing about that incredible experience, and I love that. Exodus 33, one of my favorite scriptures. Moses is captured into the revelation of who God is as God appears before him and walks up and down declaring his name. Wonderful, but it's Old Testament, guys. The revelation of the glory of God is now in the face of Jesus Christ. It's your intimate relationship with him which will reveal God's glory to you, not going up on a mountaintop somewhere, although that can be helpful. But it is your relationship, your in the secret of the garden relationship. You know, in the Song of Songs, the Shunammite says, "I am his garden." In here, right in here, God wants to be intimate with you and show you his glory right on the inside of you. A golden vessel. Gold always speaks of the glory. Okay, let's look on. But we have this treasure. What treasure is that? Oh, it's the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That treasure. We always start this scripture there. We don't know what the treasure is, but it's Jesus. It's the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus is the treasure we have in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Yes, we're a jar of clay. In the old AV, it says an earthen vessel. And it says, if you look it up, it means terracotta of the earth, earthly. You have an earthly vessel. It may not at every moment display the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I can honestly say when I get up in the morning, it doesn't. But it's a jar of clay. And if you believe that you are just that jar of clay and don't see the treasure in the golden pot on the inside, if you aren't aware of that, recently I did a really, really good speak. And when we got home, Keith said, "The only thing I can remember that you said was to look in the mirror and say, there's more to you than meets the eye." The only thing he remembered. But there is. You're a golden vessel. You're all unique. You're all different shaped. You all are designed to contain the wine of the kingdom. You're all called into this relationship with Jesus, where his glory shines on you and utterly transforms you. And the vessel of clay, what is it you call it, Paul? A leather bag. We're gonna just get rid of these old bags one day. You are of the earth. This terracotta, but inside. And I know that the Lord is inviting you into the dance. He's inviting you into the garden to be with him. She pushed in, the Shunammite woman pushed in, and then suddenly she's amongst the king's retinue. Those are the confidants of the king. Those are the people he shares his secrets with. Those are the ones who can buddy up to him. And she's right in amongst them. And they say, don't run away. Mm. I just want to read this list. These are the things the Lord is calling you to. Intimacy. Inconvenience. Anybody relate to that? Not now, Lord, I'm busy. Lord, I had 4 hours yesterday. And now? You suddenly want me to come? You know that EastEnders is on. Or whatever it is. Inconvenience. Yieldedness. God's calling you to yield. To say yes. Sacrifice. Oh, it's such an unpopular word now. Isn't it? Let me say to anybody, we would love you to do so-and-so. Of course, it will be a sacrifice. Where you just... When we went to this conference for Reinhardt in Portugal, the guy who was running all the teams, where all the volunteers came into the room, there were a huge number of volunteers, and he said, right, well, these are the jobs, blah, 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 blah. And if you have come here thinking that you will get a free pass into the conference, let me tell you, this is hard work, and you will not be hearing any of the speakers. You will not be doing that. You'll be cleaning the loos or whatever it is. And every single Portuguese person got up and left at that point, which meant that our beloved English team of about 50 ran a conference centre without speaking a word of Portuguese amongst them. We ran the information desk. It's really true. I wish it wasn't true, but it's true. We sold the headphones. We did the communion. I could talk for a while on that. We did it all because there was a willingness to sacrifice and to not have to... Are you there, Kevin? Judith. Oh, I remember Judith in the Atlantic. Yes, I remember. We did have a day off. Okay, so sacrifice. Transformation. These are things Jesus is asking you to yield to and give your heart to. Transformation through repentance. You're going to have to say, oh, yeah, I get it, Lord. I'm so sorry about that. Because he's going to be revealing yourself. Listen to someone once who said, if God has not shown you your heart, you've never seen your heart. And that's really true. You have to get God to bring you to a place of repentance and forgiving others. Anybody I've offended, even now, right now, in this moment, because I've run over the time. Oh, yeah, but there would be someone who would be saying, yeah. I've been there myself. It was the husband he gave me. You're going to have to forgive others. I forgive you. You're going to have to. You can't take any offence with you into the kingdom or into the enclosed garden. You can't. Dump them. Say to yourself... I love preaching when family's in the house. It's great. You're going to have to get rid of it all. You're going to have to forgive everybody. Say to yourself, nobody owes me anything. Nobody ever has. I'm God's. Nobody, you know, all those people who offended you and didn't invite you and trod on your toe and refused to move. It was my dad's speciality, because he has an artificial leg, so he couldn't feel your foot under his. So he'd put all his weight on it, and then you say, Dad, 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 Dad! Get off my foot! But, you know, there are people out there who do that to you. They linger, don't they? They cause a pain, and then they linger. You're going to have to forgive them. Sorry. And fear of the Lord that purifies. The fear of the Lord that purifies. I prophesy to you that you will be purified. That gold vessel may not be pure entirely yet. And a goldsmith, and I am finishing, a goldsmith, you know, you see a vein of gold, you imagine a gold goblet. Put one of the gold goblets up, Richard, again. Come on, Eleanor, we're learning this computer. You see a vein of gold and you don't think, wow, what a wonderful one to choose. You don't think about that, do you? There's a process. It's mined. It's crushed. It's smelted. It's purified. And the heat comes up underneath and the dross comes to the top. Now, a goldsmith knows exactly the moment to put in the ladle. Because if you put the ladle in while the gold isn't hot enough, it drives the dross back in. If you put the ladle in when the gold is too hot, you can't get it all out. It won't come out. So you have to have the exact moment. And what the goldsmith is looking for is the moment when he can see his face in it. And he can see his face in it. And he says, this is my moment. You may have a moment like that. Don't turn out of it. Don't say, not now, Lord. Don't have an excuse. Say, yes, Lord. I yield. Yes, Lord, purify me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just lift up our hands in his name, shall we? Lord, you have indeed sent out a gold-edged invitation to every person who is in this room. I know that. And this is your invitation to come into more of you as you come into more of us. That you would do something in us, Lord, that would make us these incredible gold vessels that you can pour the wine into. I pray that there would be a powerful outpouring of the new wine in this place. I pray, Lord, that there would be a purifying. I pray there would be a yielding. I pray there would be a forgiving and a repenting and a changing. I pray that you would come amongst us, Lord, and you would do what you want to do in every life here. We speak it over you. All of you, may the Lord touch you. May the Lord be intimate with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.